Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us right now is our very own from CBSTV.com, NFL insider Jason LaCampora. Kept a little busy this week, Jason, with stuff that doesn't necessarily portend to on-field efforts, eh?
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's the world we're living in, and obviously no one is immune from what's going on, teams, individual athletes. The virus and the numbers are trending in an alarming direction in a lot of areas of this country, in a lot of areas in this country where professional football is played. So, yeah, there's sort of a daily calculus going on here, trying to keep this thing on the tracks and trying to keep these games played at least relatively close to the date they were originally scheduled, but knowing that from day to day and really at this point from hour to hour, situations can change drastically.
On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 meaning COVID what? 10 meaning you better be tuned tomorrow because it may be the last of the National Football League you see this year. Where do you have your scare to me to write about now?
I don't really know how to answer that question. I just think if people way smarter than me, infectious disease specialists, people who know more about the coordinated response going on here at the various statewide and citywide levels. It's not a football thing, at all. Players have kids who are going to school. Players have wives who, might be working or you could just, you still go to the store, you grocery shop, you go for a walk. The way this thing is transmitted, I don't know. I don't know about second waves, third waves. Temperatures are starting to drop around different parts of the country, and you've got cold and flu season around the corner. I don't really know how to handicap it. I just know that every morning around 7 a.m., I'm going to start texting people, at some teams in the league office, and you're going to see where the numbers are and who's dealing with what and what's manageable and what's not. And, Howard Katz and those people over at the league office who handle scheduling are going to have early mornings and long nights trying to figure out a way to keep this going, but knowing that positive test results are inevitable, that having to shut down facilities for some portion of time is going to be inevitable. And where it goes, I just don't know.
We talked about Tennessee and the issues they had.
Yes.
And some of those were self-inflicted wounds,
yes.
Or at least it seemed that way with unscheduled workouts and get-togethers and the like. Yet they come out and played maybe their best game of the year when they finally got back out onto the field. So for those who are trying to add the COVID factor into their handicapping, I don't know if you can do that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I don't know how everyone would respond to it. I don't know that it affects different people differently. The Bills got their schedule shifted around majorly because of this, and they didn't have an outbreak, and they didn't look like they were ready to go, and they were sitting there Sunday afternoon, not knowing if they were going to play on Tuesday of that week or Thursday of that week or Sunday right. of the following week, it seemed to actually throw them off more than it did the Titans themselves, who clearly were using this as a motivational factor, although I don't quite understand the calculus there because they weren't following all the rules. And it's not as if this happened to them and everybody there was obviously doing everything in their power to fight the spread. I mean, that's just not reality. And they know that's not reality. And the league has had conference calls and Zoom calls showing evidence from that building that that's not the reality. But yet they did, you know, use it as a us against the world thing. And it seemed to work for them on that particular night. They're not going to be the last team in all likelihood to play on a Tuesday this year. Somebody might end up playing on a Wednesday. They are going to be as creative as possible within reason to keep this going. But yeah, I mean, that was sort of a sociological experiment. Like, what would this look like if a team practiced, I don't know, three times in 16 days, and then went out and played a football game against a playoff team from a year ago? And by golly, it seemed to work for them, oddly enough.
Jason LaCompore, CBS NFL insider, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's attempt to go back on the field. We always have to keep the specter of COVID-19 in our minds, but they're going to play football on Saturday, on Sunday and Monday, and maybe Tuesday as well. Kansas City Chiefs got picked off by the Raiders last week. We tip our cap to the Raiders. Good for them. Came up with a big effort, put themselves back in the fight for playoff contention. Chiefs just didn't look like the Chiefs, and it was their first loss in almost a calendar year time. I always hear people say this. You know, sometimes a loss can be a good thing. And it always brings me to a stop and say, all right, I got to figure out how they can actually make this claim. What's your take to that? Can there be bad losses or good losses? Excuse me.
Well, I mean, I think they were, you couldn't even really remember the last time they lost a game, right? And not that they brought their A game every single week. I mean, even in the Super Bowl, they were getting whacked around pretty good into the third quarter. But that when they found their gear, and that gear always seemed to be there when they needed it, that when they found it, they would ride it until they won. And they weren't able to do that against the Raiders. And they did have a bit of a wild scramble, but never got particularly close and really got pushed around in the second half. You know, it's that stuff will happen. Am I surprised that it was the Raiders who did it? Yeah, but I guess I shouldn't be because, they also did it to the Saints. And every 2-3 weeks, it seems like they're capable of playing with anybody. I don't know that they're able to do that week in, week out yet, but they're certainly showing signs. But, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs have had, a weird schedule as well. And I think they have played some games where I don't want to say they didn't respect the Raiders because they did, but they had the Monday night game against, you got the first game of the year, the Thursday night, and yeah, Houston stinks, but it's still a rematch. And then you're at Baltimore on a Monday night, and that's big. And, you had the wild win over the Chargers when you didn't know if Herbert all of a sudden is playing at the last second. And, they found a way to win that thing in overtime. I think they were due for a letdown of some sort. Excuse me. And clearly in the second half of that game, they seemed to have it.
We'll see if the Chiefs pick up right where they left off after the loss to the Raiders. You brought up the Saints, team that the Raiders played well against as well. They were on Monday night. Drew Brees got out of the gate slow and was getting stone cold crushed on Twitter when he throws a first half pick. But he gets a TD right before half and then comes out and looks like a Hall of Fame quarterback in the second half. The day after and the days after, it seemed to me most people remembered the first half and just overlooked the second half that Drew Brees had. Is my critique of those who critique accurate? And if so, why do you think it played that way?
Well, I think Drew Brees is not I think in part people focus on the mistakes because this is a guy who's been, for a long stretch of his career, the most accurate passer in the history of the game. This is a guy who has just been pretty precise and sort of a dead eye type, And if it is incomplete. It's usually because somebody ran the wrong route or somebody dropped the ball right in their hands. I think we've seen Drew Brees hit the wall the last couple of seasons, and that's, you know, a reality. Even last year, after, you know, getting 5 or 6 weeks on the sidelines because of the thumb, it kind of was limping into the playoffs a little bit. So I can understand people who look at him and the Hall of Fame career he's had and say he's not up to his own. He's never going to be the guy he was. I think that's fair. Father Time is undefeated. Doesn't mean he still can't be a winning quarterback. Doesn't mean he still can't take games over for stretches. I don't know that he's a guy, though, who's going to dominate for months on end. You know, he's not a guy you're going to hear mentioned in the MVP conversation anymore. I think that stage of his career is over, but they get Mike Thomas back, and you know, we know that Kamara can take games over, and he's had to really carry a big load the last few weeks. And I worry about the defense. You know, it's not quite what I thought it would be or what it's been the last few years. I do have some concerns about that team. You know, I don't know that they're what they were a couple of years ago.
We saw, staying with quarterback, saw the grotesque injury that Dak Prescott suffered last week and the very severe surgery that he underwent. He is done for the year, but it is the kind of thing that players have recovered from and gotten back to their previous level. Any reason why anyone should be questioning the Cowboys and their commitment to Dak? The contract runs out. I said immediately when it happened, well, he's going to have to play under the franchise tag again next year, which is not a terrible thing. I know everybody wants the guarantees forever, but guaranteed 30-plus is not a bad thing in a single year. I don't think it's really changed his status with the Cowboys much. How about you?
No, I agree. I don't think it's going to change a whole heck of a lot. And I also don't think it changes a ton for that team. Like, they were going to win 6, 7, 8 games with him the way they were playing, and they'll probably still end up winning those, you know, that number. And the defense is going to continue to be horrible. They've got to win time of possession. They've got to find ways to slow the game down and keep the defense off the field. And Andy Dalton is very capable. It's not going to be as prolific as it was with Dak, and nor should it, because the way game flow is going right now, you're going to have to score 50 a game to win, and that's just not tenable. So I think, you know, they're a flawed outfit that can compete with teams in their flawed division, and, you know, either they or Philadelphia will come out of there with the right tiebreakers and the right 6, 7, or 8 wins. It's not going to take any more than that. And then, you know, yeah, they'll have to reassess in the offseason, but I don't think there should be much concern, really any concern, about him not being a part of their future.
Agreed. We're talking to Jason Lockhampour here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, the most intriguing team in the National Football League, and it may just be the best team in the National Football League too, is the Seattle Seahawks. Unbelievable MVP-like quarterback play, prolific offense led by Russell Wilson, and a defense that is a stone-cold sieve, and teams are running up yards and points on them on a week-in, week-out basis. And Russell just seems to outdo whatever defensive shortcomings his teammates put up there. How long can he keep this up?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's been this guy for a while. He's one of the – it's one of the real bizarre things in recent NFL history is this guy has never been a part of an MVP conversation. That's nuts. He's special. I mean, he's – I think the last – since the start of the last 3-plus years, he's like has 20 more passing touchdowns than anybody else, and his interception percentage is like 1.2. I mean, it's phenomenal, and he can take games over himself, and he does quite often. And, you know, maybe they do something before the deadline to help that defense a little bit, but it's not going to be an overhaul. I think they know who they are, and they understand their flaws. And the only way to overcome it, in their instance, is to let that guy shine and to let Russ cook and to come out throwing on first down, throwing early in games in situations where they didn't in the past, and run every bit of that offense through him instead of making sure that 3 different running backs each get their 10 carries. So they are a fun team. I do worry. You know, again, when you get to January and defense tends to shine and you've got to face three or four straight elite quarterbacks in a row, can they? Is that going to be too much for Russ to overcome? But, boy, you know, he nobody's doing it better than him.
Jason, last couple of weeks we have seen coaches told their responsibilities are no longer necessary. First, Bill O'Brien gets the boot down in Houston, followed rightfully so by Dan Quinn and Atlanta. Who's this week's firing? Or did we get the two out of the way and now we'll probably go a month or so?
No, I think there's certainly situations that bear monitoring. You know, the Jets, the Lions, Jacksonville. If I was a betting man, I would bet on at least two more in-season firings.
Okay, and if any of those guys got the hook, you would not hear me complain one iota. All right, last thing. If you could only watch one game tomorrow and your choices were the 4-1 Browns at the 4-0 Steelers or the 4-0 Packers at the 3-2 Bucks, Rodgers against Brady, which game would you watch?
I mean, I guess the Rodgers and Brady have only faced each other three times before. Who knows how many more times are to come, given where Tom is. And, you know, the Packers coming off a bye as well as they've played. Tampa, you know, having halves where first half against Carolina, second half against the Chargers, where they look completely unstoppable, but other times where that offense has been out of sorts. So I don't think you can go wrong with two of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history hooking up for possibly the last time.
Enjoy that one. Enjoy them all tomorrow. Appreciate you coming on board. Thanks much, Jason. We'll talk to you again down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a good night.
Jason LaCampora, CBS NFL insider for both CBS TV and .com, lending us some Week 6 insight here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.